Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's exactly 10 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Today, I'm going to spend a bit of time unpacking value-added tax, VAT. This is something we all know about, something that's part of our daily life. And more recently, it's really been thrown into the spotlight by the debate that has happened in Parliament between the different parties as to whether South Africa should increase its value-added tax, its VAT rate, or not. I'm not going to get into the politics as to whether we should or we shouldn't, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. We're simply going to look at value-added tax as VAT, as to what it is, how it works, where it applies, and who benefits from it, and how the mechanism actually works. So let's go back to the very beginning. I'm sure you all remember in the good old days, something called GST, General Sales Tax. So General Sales Tax was a tax that was levied on goods that were sold at the end of the process. So when you came to the till and you were going to buy something, there was a tax that you had to pay in order to get that product. So if you were buying bread to the value of 10 Rand, you would pay 10%, let's say, general sales tax, and that would be added on, and that would go to the government. That would be an extra tax that you would have in order to raise revenue, raise money for the government. That's not unheard of. America has something called sales tax, which is the same process. It's a tax that's levied at the end of a process. It's widespread in America. Certain states don't have it. States like Oregon and New Hampshire, and it varies between different states. Some of them as low as 4%, and they go up to 10%. But it's just another way of generating revenue for government in order for them to have enough money to do what they need to do. But in South Africa, in 1978, value-added tax came in. And value-added tax differs from general sales tax in one simple way. General sales tax is added on at the end. So in other words, the process is not taxed all the way through. The farmer who plants the wheat, there's no value added tax. There was no general sales tax there. Who then sells the finished product, the wheat, onto the miller. When the miller buys it from the farmer, it doesn't add on. When he mills the wheat to flour and passes on to the bakery, he soon adds on a markup, but he doesn't add on tax. And so the process goes until we end up standing at the queue in the counter, at the counter, buying a loaf of bread that is now costing us whatever it does, a tax is added on over there. That is very different. That is a tax that is added on throughout the process. So as you buy and sell goods, so there's input and output tax on both of those processes. So let's leave out agriculture, because certain goods in agriculture are rated, as we call, zero rated. In other words, the government has given a concession that we're not going to burden certain parts of industry with a VAT tax, because that's just going to be passed on to the end user in a way, and it's going to prohibit the growth of that sector. But let's say you've got a business and you manufacture Ouija's, for lack of a better term. You then go and buy 10,000 rands worth of equipment in order, not equipment, raw material to make that stuff with. And let's again use simple figures. Let's say of that 10,000 rand is included in there 10% VAT. In other words, 1,000 rand worth of VAT is included in that invoice that you receive. You can then go and say, hold on, I paid 1,000 rand extra for the goods I received. I've now gone and sold goods at 20,000 rand, and I'm still using 10% VAT. And that's just as an example. See, in other words, 2,000 rands worth of tax I charged my client. That means I am responsible to the South African Revenue Services, who control the VAT, to hand over that 2,000 rand that I collected on their behalf. But hold on for a moment. I paid 1,000 rand during that 2 month period, because VAT works in a 2 month cycle. I paid 1,000 rand input VAT in order to generate the product that generated the 2,000 rand tax. I net the one off the other. I submit the documents to SARS together with a check or an EFT for 1,000 rand. I owed them 2,000. They owed me 1,000. The one nets off the other, and I get a reduction on what I need to pay them. I can hear you saying, and I'm busy reading an SMS coming through now. Does that mean that we as business people are the government's banker for 2 months? Absolutely, you are. And in an ideal world, what should happen is that when you pay for that 10,000 rands worth of good and you are owed 1,000 rand, you should raise that in your books that you have a VAT amount of 1,000 rand owed to you. But when you receive that 2,000 rand, you should separate it out immediately from that 20,000 rand invoice. Put 18,000 into your bank account and 2,000 into your VAT account. You might say, but why should I put all 2,000? I'm only going to pay over 1,000. You have no idea what you're going to pay until you do your final calculation. But if you keep all the VAT that you receive aside, the chances of you having to scramble to find that money on that payment day are very slim. And you'll be able to sleep a lot easier at night. So that's the way VAT works. I mentioned before that there are certain goods that are zero rated. So let's go through them and let's see what they are, and then we can break some of them down a little bit further. So the list that I have in front of me are brown bread, maize meal, rice, some, mealie rice, dried beans, lentils, pilchards or sardines, but they must be canned, milk. Oh, excuse me, milk, including milk powder, eggs, fresh vegetables and fruit, and vegetable oil. Yes, what is the common theme amongst all those items? There are basic staples. There are basic necessities that those who are really on the cusp of not being able to afford more luxury goods would go for these items. Brown bread as opposed to white bread because it has a high nutritional value. Maize meal, a no-brainer in South Africa. It is the staple food of almost every South African in one form or another. Rice, sump, mealie rice, similar. Dried beans, they last, they don't rot. You soak them, high in protein. Lentils, the same thing. Pilchards, sardines, affordable fish. Full of vitamins, and it lasts indefinitely in a tin. Milk and milk powder, again, sustainable. Eggs, fruit and vegetable, and vegetable oil. Vegetable oil, for those of you who never really noticed, is one of the most consumed items in a South African retail setting. Vegetable oil is used in huge amounts by South Africans. South Africans like things deep fried. And vegetable oil is an absolute staple. The government is looking at increasing this list now, especially because there is an increase in VAT of 0.5% coming up, and they are going to add certain things to this list. But we'll discuss that in a moment. In the meantime, Chai FM needs to make a few bucks. So let's run to the shops. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
So, as I said, the rage is all about the VAT being raised by 0.5%. It's going to be high raised, 0.5% now, 0.5% in a few months' time, and that is earmarked to raise an extra 28 billion rand for the government. And it's also looking at lowering the VAT rate on or zero rating certain items that come out that are currently VATable, and the government's looking at scrapping that so that us as the consumer will pay less at the till for certain items. But what the government will do will be able to raise a lot more money in order to do projects that they wanted. I went and did a little bit of research, and it came out that VAT started in, as I said, in 1978, and that VAT was an amount, sorry, started at 10% in 1993, and then it was raised to 14%. Sorry, I'm getting myself confused. It was introduced on the 30th of September 1991, replacing general sales tax. In 1993, it was increased from 10% to 14%. And 14% from 1993 until 2018, where we had that disastrous five-day Minister of Finance that came in, one of the almost impossible blunders that the ANC was able to create, where we had a 1% VAT increase. VAT never changed. Every year we spoke about it prior to the budget. Every year it was touted as maybe it would happen, but it never happened. And the main reason that VAT was never increased is because ultimately VAT is a non-discriminatory tax. We all pay it across the board, regardless of who you are and regardless of how much you earn. If you're buying a lounge suite, whether you're buying a lounge suite for 2,000 rand or for 200,000 rand, the same percentage applies on that. If you're buying a some foodstuff that is VATable, you will pay it regardless of who you are. And therefore, this tax ran across the spectrum of South African society, and it was very, very difficult to contain. An increase as to what the fallout would be from there. And as the country grew, the South African government was able to generate money elsewhere, especially in the early days, those glory days where we had Trevor Manuel as Minister of Finance, and we went from finance minister to finance minister, and things just got more and more difficult. Gordhan came in and tried to stable the ship. But ultimately, we are in a situation now in South Africa where we've got nowhere to turn. And I say we've got nowhere to turn because you can always proverbially max your credit card. You can always get an overdraft. For those who don't know, South Africans been there and done that. And South Africa's single biggest, most expensive item on its income statement every single year is servicing that debt. We can't afford to borrow more. We borrow to the point where the repayments are killing us. And they're killing us by that death, so to speak, is being compounded by the fact that our economy is not growing, society is not spending what it should be spending in order for society to grow. And most catastrophic is that we're not having injection of capital projects that will create jobs and that will create infrastructure for generations to come. We see now that new VAT amount is being earmarked to refurbish our railway system. Many of us can remember a vibrant, healthy, dynamic railway system in South Africa, a railway system that transported goods all over the country. A railway system that transported us all over the country in luxury and in safety. We can all remember a transport system by railroad that obfuscated the need for vehicles. Big, heavy trucks carrying tons and tons of coal to power stations in order to try to keep the lights on. All that was done by rail. Rail was quiet, didn't congest the roads, didn't damage the roads. It was far more efficient. And there's only one reason that it doesn't function anymore, and that is corruption. And the reason I went on that tangent is that ultimately you and I are going to pay more for everything. None of us would mind if we knew that our government was using that to repair, rehabilitate, and sustain our country going forward. But it's just simply not happening. When private initiatives have to come to the party in order to fix potholes, when private initiatives have to come to the party in order to supply the world-class healthcare that those of us who can afford or privileged enough to afford it can have, we've got a major problem on our hands. And as much as we are full of promise, full of hope, full of resilience, ultimately, when we are asked to pay more and we are now getting even less, it really, really hurts and makes us feel vulnerable, and it makes us feel abused. And then when that starts happening, you start having a groundswell of people who are not going to pay those extra amounts. With VAT, you absolutely don't have a choice. But take the gantries on the highways. I don't know how many of you ran out to put those sensors in your car. And I don't know how many of you opened up those bills that came fast and furious. Often thought it was like the letterbox in that first Harry Potter movie where the mail just came flying through the hole in the door. I mean, they came fast and furious. They never made sense. They were on roads that you never traveled on. We'll promise they'll never be more than X. And yet you were charged more than that on just one route. It was an absolute farce. But civil disobedience stopped that. South Africans by nature are not civilly disobedient. We are obedient, law-abiding people who just want to do what's right. And the reason I'm discussing this is I'd like to get your opinion. What do you feel about paying an extra 0.5% VAT and ultimately an extra 1% VAT in order to help the government to rehabilitate the country in certain areas? If you want my opinion is that it's an inevitable evil. It's something that just has to be done. Our rates are low. If you take the UK, for example, VAT is sitting at 20%. 20%. Take a simple scenario. You go out for supper. You eat dinner. It costs you and your family 400 rand. 20% of that is 80 rand. So you're paying nearly 500 bucks for a 400 rand meal before you've tipped the waiter. That's how VAT works in most countries. I know, for an example, in New York City, sales tax is not part of the price, and you walk into a place and you see burger and chips for $16, and you think, oh, wonderful. You sit down and you start thinking, it's not $16, it's $16 plus 10% sales tax. And how many places do you go to, mom and pop store, and you pull out your credit card and the person looks at you and under the breath says, do you not have cash? Because by paying cash, they don't have to charge you VAT. Or they do, but they don't. So in South Africa, we seem to be really on top of that, where it's uniform and it's across the board. The issue is twofold. Number one, is our money going to be used correctly? And number two, can we afford it as consumers? Okay, so we've got one or two questions coming in here. Lucipe wants to know, do companies benefit from the difference between input VAT and output VAT? In other words, could companies make money if they use the VAT system correctly? Lucipe, it's a really good question. And the simple answer is no. Because if you have received VAT, that you paid for goods and services, but you paid more than you're sending out. In other words, it's the reverse of the example I gave you earlier. You bought for 20,000, but you only sold for 10,000. Therefore, you've paid out 2,000. You've only received in 1,000. And now SARS needs to give you back a VAT refund of 1,000 Rand. You haven't made or lost money. That money wasn't yours. There are certain areas, for example, delivery vehicles, where you can pay for the vehicle and you get the VAT component of that back. But practically, you're not making money. VAT is not there to make money. VAT is there in order to make sure that the tax is paid at every step of the process fairly and equitably across the chain of production. The next question that comes in, are there mistakes that happen with VAT? And is it possible that we've been ripped off for years and years and years? And he gives an example with his rates and taxes and his telephone bill. The long and the short of it is that mistakes do happen on VAT. And VAT is charged on the wrong items, and VAT is charged on the wrong rates, and VAT is sometimes charged on zero VATed items. That does happen. And that's why you have companies that actually have made mega businesses on VATing VAT invoices, making sure it's correct, making sure that you're paying it correctly, you're receiving it correctly, and that you're invoicing and receipting it correctly. And those things are quite important. Often when you put them, in fact, someone was just asked, my accounting package misappropriates VAT. Well, your accounting VAT package doesn't misappropriate VAT. The input that you've put in the beginning is incorrect. And if it misappropriates VAT, that means you haven't downloaded the latest software, which means that you're not paying correctly for it. Or it means that you're using a generic piece of software that is not South African based and not in line with South African revenue services. And therefore, that's why you're making the mistakes. If you use any of the reputable ones, you pay your monthly fee. As all of us know, as the VAT rates changes, everything that we've got on our systems for VAT changes automatically. So you don't need to worry about that. But yes, one does need to be aware, and one can sit and calculate. The truth is, then the average day-to-day items that we purchase, it really is insignificant if there is a mistake. But one would be prudent to have a look at it from time to time and see how all those works. Next question is VAT charged on your credit card? Well, the definition of VAT is goods and services. So yes, you are paid charged VAT on your credit card for certain things that you are charged for. However, if you pay your credit card on time, then what happens is that you've already paid VAT for the goods you've received. And ultimately, if you settle that credit card on time, in other words, the bank or the credit card company is not charging you a fee for that card, you have nothing to worry about. Then the last question that's just come in, very similar to one that we've had before. Rosie wants to know, thank you for the show, Ultimately, what you're saying is that you are paying VAT as a tax over and above the normal taxes we pay. And my answer to you is yes, you are. You are paying an extra tax. And you just need to hope and pray that your tax is being used in the correct way. And this is something maybe to bring to people's attention. South Africans hate paying tax, but you're not alone. The rest of the world also hates paying it. They might get more value for their tax, but they might also pay a lot higher tax. I don't know if those of you can remember the rates and taxes that we used to get a property value on it. And then in those days, your home could be worth $500,000, $800,000, R1 million. And the value of your property on the statement was R45,000. And you paid tax on that. The government then, the municipalities brought that into line. So now it was a little bit more equitable across the board, which people were upset about, but ultimately you're paying it. But if you go to a place like New York City, London, the tax that they pay on property is far higher than we pay. So, you know, there are swings and roundabouts. If you take a country like Israel, VAT is high, tax is high. And not only that, people then have to contribute to a national fund called Bituach Lumi, which translated roughly means government or national insurance. And Bituach Lumi takes care of so many different things within the country, that pot of money is used so extensively, but people need to contribute towards it. So over and above tax, you have this national tax that you put in order to help the country and those in need in the country in different areas through from time to time. So yes, our VAT rate is going up. It's still low compared to developed countries. Ultimately, it really boils down to where we spend it and how it is spent when it is received from government. Someone says here, I've been waiting for a VAT return for the last 6 months, still haven't got it. Those shenanigans seem to have been sorted out with SARS. If you have an accountant worth his or her salt, they will know who to speak to. And if they don't get luck at SARS themselves, there's no one to speak to as such to communicate with. They will then go to their association, and the accounting SAPOA will definitely help them in order to get that sorted out. Can I save money by buying items that are zero VAT rated? Of course you can. And that's what we just discussed. So if you look on the list, and let me try to scroll back and see if I can find it. Eggs and milk, you don't have to worry about. Fresh fruit and vegetables, you don't have to worry about. Vegetable, your oil, you don't have to worry about. But brown bread and maize meal, I suppose, if you shop at a place where it's cheaper, you're not buying your brown bread at Woolworths, but you may be buying it somewhere else. I don't know. That is something that you could look for. Ultimately, the amount of money that you would be saving by buying these items, unless you do a major transformation, is going to be massive. If I think of our listenership in Glen Hazel moving from tuna to pilchards or sardines, unlikely to happen. The same group of people moving from having soles on a Wednesday night to having mashed pilchards or sardines with mayonnaise, also unlikely to happen. Maybe your cholent and shabbos could be a bit cheaper because you can use sump and dried beans. But for those of you who are, you know, got that expression of what the hell is he talking about on their face, that's exactly the point. The amount of money you're saving is so negligible that I don't think it would make a difference to a household's pocket. But where it would make a difference is to the government, because every penny that they receive is a penny more that they have to spend. We are unfortunately running out of time. We're going to take a quick ad break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. It is 20 minutes to 1. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you so much for listening as we've unpacked this whole story about VAT, how it works, what it's all about, and the benefits, and I suppose the drawbacks to you when it comes to all this. I think the bottom line is that we just need to understand that VAT is a tax that will help the government in order to prop up a cash flow and enable for them to fill the coffers to provide essential services that are needed. And again, in South Africa, as in most governments, that is a moot point. When it comes to business, nothing changes. The rates change. So the input and the output both change at the same rate, and therefore it's a zero-sum game. You know, there's no point in saying, I'll always pay 200,000 RAT every 2 months, and now I'm paying 210,000 RAND. Doesn't make a difference. It wasn't your money. You were simply holding it, netting it off, and paying it over. But ultimately, as the purpose of the show is really all about, is just to make our listeners as aware, give them the insight and the input that they may need in order just to feel a little bit more part of what's going on, and not just feeling that we can't understand VAT because it's beyond us, but you pay it. You are responsible for that contribution to fiscus every single time you shop, and therefore you have a right and an obligation to understand what's going on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, Craig, thank you so much for pushing the buttons. We will speak to you next week.